May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, tornadoes are not that rare these days. And one such tornado lifts off the roof of a house in Killaloe very early one morning. And it picks up the bed which Reverend Smith and his wife Jane are sleeping and sets them down gently in Pembroke. When Jane starts to cry, the priest tries to comfort her. "Don't be scared, darling," he says. "We're not hurt." But Jane continues to cry. "I'm not crying because I'm scared," she says. "I'm crying because I'm happy. This is the first time in years we've been out together somewhere other than the church." Well, today's gospel reading from Luke's gospel tells us about the baptism of Jesus. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And we might think it odd that Jesus should be baptized at all. After all, he was righteous and sinless and had no need to be purified. But John had a genuine calling to this ministry, one that Jesus recognized and sought out. And as Jesus explained to John, "It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." There was a sect of Jews known as the Essenes, and some believe that John was connected to the Essenes. Part of their ritual practice was to bathe by immersing themselves in water. To be baptized, which means to dip, in this way was a form of ritual purification. And it was one way that Jews prepared themselves for the coming of the Messiah and God's kingdom. In Jesus' day, another type of baptism was when a Gentile would convert to Judaism, and he would have to be publicly baptized to identify him as a convert. Obviously, Jesus was not converting to anything, for he was already a Jew, and he was perfect. By being baptized, Jesus was identifying with the people. He was also identifying with the Father and the Holy Spirit. God's voice from heaven publicly announced Jesus as God's Son, and the Holy Spirit came down upon him as a dove. So Jesus' baptism was a public affirmation of his messiahship by the testimony that came directly from heaven. We hear the voice of God the Father speaking to Jesus only twice in the Gospels, at his baptism and at the Transfiguration. And both times it is the same message. "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." So Jesus' baptism was a public affirmation of his messiahship by the testimony that came from John and directly from heaven. God's voice combines key phrases from the Old Testament, which all Jews would have understood. God calls Jesus "my son," and the title "my son" is a reference to King David and identifies Jesus as the Messiah from David's line. The voice from heaven also used the word "beloved," a word used of the patriarch Isaac in the book of Genesis. And the voice spoke of Jesus as one with whom I am well pleased. And this is a quote referring to the servant of God, another reference to the Messiah as found in Isaiah. So all these scriptural references reveal the authority and significance of Jesus. Jesus was around 30 years old when all this was happening, and his ministry was just beginning. He was the new kid on the block. Every once in a while, a rabbi would come along who was teaching and interpreting the Torah in a new way. To have a new understanding of Scripture that differed from previous rabbis was rare and extraordinary. So people would have been asking, How do we know if what Jesus is saying is true? How do we know that this new rabbi isn't crazy? Well, apparently one of the protections for the rabbi was that two other rabbis with authority would lay hands on the new rabbi and validate him. They would be saying, "We believe this rabbi has authority to make new interpretations." So that's another reason why Jesus' baptism is so important. We see John the Baptist, a powerful teacher and accepted prophet in his own right, vouching for the authority and stature of Jesus. John was saying publicly that he wasn't even worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. And to top it off, the voice from heaven said, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." John the Baptist and Jesus had a lot in common. They were cousins of a similar age, and their ministries were interrelated. So much so that initially people thought that John himself might be the long-awaited Messiah. It had been 400 years since the last prophet of Israel had spoken with such power and authority. Their message was similar, and they both led a renewal movement. Both John and Jesus preached a message of repentance and renewal, freedom and justice. In John's gospel, we're told that both John and Jesus were actually baptizing around the same time. And in John's gospel, we learn that Jesus' first two disciples were drawn from the followers of John the Baptist, Andrew and another unnamed disciple. But John the Baptist is very firm and very clear to always point to Jesus as the Messiah, God's anointed one. John is humble and uncorrupted by the power and the authority of his particular gifts. He understood his role as the forerunner of the Messiah, preparing the way. In their common message, John and Jesus were both criticizing the corruption of Jerusalem and the established temple religion. They were calling for the cleansing of public life and urging their followers to live ethical lives worthy of the kingdom of God. Repent was their cry, and in the sense of the Greek word metanoia, it means to have a complete change of heart and be obedient to God's way. Love God, resist evil, love our neighbors as ourselves, strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being. We talk about Jesus fulfilling scripture, and when we look at the readings from such prophets as Isaiah in our first lesson, God is saying to the Israelites that he will rescue and save them because they are precious in my sight and God loves them. So it's an oracle of salvation. And the Savior God has promised is none other than Jesus Christ. So that's just one example of how Jesus fulfills prophecy. In our New Testament reading from the book of Acts, we have what one might call a Samaritan Pentecost experience. In this story, we see how the salvation of Christ is at work. The apostle Philip is in Samaria, and upon hearing the preaching and seeing the signs that Philip did, the people were baptized. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John so that the people might receive the Holy Spirit with the laying on of their hands. Repentance and baptism, the forgiveness of sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit are the things required for conversion and salvation. They mark the beginning of a new relationship with God. And as Jesus reminds us, what is most needed is an open, prayerful, obedient, faithful, and loving heart. The baptism of Jesus marked the beginning of his journey to the cross. And our baptism marks the beginning of our faith journeys with Christ. May our hearts be always open to our loving God, and may we always respond to life's challenges with love. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.